Hello. And welcome to BSP Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we're an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast. And this is a minisode.
And proud members of
the Podmoth Network.
Yay. Our intro is just getting longer and longer. Soon, that's just going to be our episode.
Well, speaking of...
See, I'm a segue or doing the setup.
Yeah. So we have received a opportunity here kind of in the background of stuff going on with the production side of stuff.
Yeah.
We won't bore you with all of the details, but because of that, you may notice that there are some trailers playing during our episodes.
Yeah, exactly. You might hear a couple in the beginning or during, and it's something that is a good opportunity for us. You know, we've been doing this for several years now. And so, you know, it's just kind of a way to support us and
hopefully make us grow even more.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So hopefully it's not too annoying. If you have problems up, there are people that have opinions on that. You know, let us know. We'd like to hear, but this is something that could really help us. Yeah. So hopefully this is a really good thing moving forward.
Yes.
So with that said, this is a minisode. Should we get back on?
And what a minisode is?
Is a short episode. That's it.
No. Short
episode. Short episode.
No.
So we do a full episode every other week.
Yes.
With lots of stories and information in our believer skeptic portion. But in the interim weeks, we do a minisode where we each do one story that just teases the upcoming topic. So it's kind of a game to see if you can guess our upcoming topic. Mine is going to... Okay, remember how last one was easy?
Yeah.
I flipped the tables on this one. This one's hard.
Mine... I mean, you can... By the description, never mind. That will give it away.
Wait, what?
If I say that. Anyways, it had the word in there like three times, so I just removed the word or kind of finagled it so you can make sense of it still without the word.
Sneaky. Yeah. I was actually kind of hoping yours might be a little more obvious and they could use ours together because mine is just, oh God, it's related... Kind of.
Well, then get into it.
Okay. Oh, I almost said the topic name because usually you're like, well, what is it? Okay. So for my minisode, I am going to be talking about mental conditioning. And it's something we've talked about. We had talked about brainwashing before, but this is a little bit different. And I found some examples of mental conditioning that happen to us in everyday life that we don't even think about. And I thought this was really interesting because there were some things that were just, I guess, conditioned to do because of repetition, or it's almost Pavlovian, and
hence
it's conditioning,
mental,
and it's in your brain. but there are things that we don't really process, and I'm worried that people are going to hear this and be like, "Oh, wow, it's like conspiracy theory bullshit, like we're being controlled." But these are some examples of ways that we're mentally conditioned in everyday life. One, your smartphone tones and vibes. If you've ever been in a public area and heard a familiar notification chime, this classical conditioning example will certainly ring true for you. You hear that tone, and what do? Even if it's not you,
you check
instinctively reach for your phone. What happens? Have you ever had the time also whenever...
I have phantom vibrations.
Yes, it's literally mentioned right here in this exact same example. It said that chome... This chime or tone, and guys, we don't edit our minisodes. We edit our episodes. The chime or tone is a neutral stimulus. Through classical conditioning, you've come to associate it with the positive feeling of reading a message. So that's where that every single one of these, there's like an emotional
connection.
Kind of connection at hand. Yeah. And so you get that thing like, yay, I've got a message. And that's why it says
And then you get sadly disappointed when there's nothing there.
Yeah, that's it. It's the same reason why you might reach for your phone when you think you feel it vibrating in your pocket, even if it isn't. And I admit, I've never really processed why we get that phantom vibration, but it's because we like getting those messages. And so
you like the vibration.
You like the vibration. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually true. Next is actually cut some of these out. So number three is what I have in my notes, but it's the second one is restaurant aromas. Many real-world classical conditioning examples are near perfect parallels for Pavlov's original experiment. When you're greeted with the familiar smell of pizza fresh out of the oven, you might already start salivating even before you take your first bite. The aroma of the food comes to serve the same role as Pavlov's ringing bell.
Well, that's what like what they do in Disney when they pump out certain smells in certain areas or accentuate them so people can
exactly
be drawn in.
You smell it and you get hungry, but a lot of that is because of the emotional response that you have, you know, to the food.
Mm-hmm.
I guess with also food is we have experiences in food poisoning. The principles of classic conditioning can apply to so many other areas of everyday life. Any individual dish or type of food, if you've never eaten it before, is a blank slate for possible associations.
Mm-hmm.
If the first time you eat sushi, you get terrible food poisoning,
oh, yeah,
then it's possible that almost anything to do with that sushi experience could gain negative associations and give you food aversion. Perhaps just the smell of sushi rice could make you want to gag.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've all had that thing where you get, like I had food poisoning for macaroni and cheese, and I couldn't eat it for like 3 years.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh. We also have here, excited for recess. Playing outside with your friends is an inherently happy experience. It's a source of great joy. The bell used to indicate the beginning of recess is neutral, if even a little negative, if it's too loud or harsh. It can even hurt your ears.
That's like a perfect example of a Pavlovian bell.
Exactly. Because as that recess bell accurately predicts the beginning of recess, you may actually get excited when you hear a bell that's actually harsh or, you know, not even comforting.
Yeah.
But you get that happy feeling because your brain has that so many years of conditioning for that.
Oh,
right?
My building's on fire, but I'm so happy.
Oh, my gosh. The fire alarm bell is what actually dismissed us for recess. I love this so much. Yeah. They even have a good report card. The report card that you get from school on its own is nothing more than a piece of paper. It's also true that the fundamentals of behaviorism can be used to improve academic performance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe each time you brought home a great report card, your parents would take you out for dinner at your favorite restaurant, or they'd shower you with praise. Then the next time you receive a good report card, you already well up with happy emotions, even before you bring it home to show your parents.
Yep.
And that's because you've already been conditioned to anticipate, you know, those positive consequences.
Yeah.
And then finally, this one is for you.
Oh.
Holiday music.
Ugh.
This is going to go into your commercialism that you already hate about Christmas.
Yep.
The hope for many retail stores is that you already have positive associations with Christmas music. That's why they play holiday classics over the speakers. This festive spirit, they hope, will lead you to purchase more items. And I never thought about that so much. I thought they were
so just... So I was like, maybe the years of working at the Gap every Christmas and going through all that stress is why I hate Christmas.
What if that's why you hate Christmas music?
Yeah.
Because for some, you know, it brings up all those happy memories. But for you, this is why you hate Christmas, is the Gap. Gap, fuck you. No. So yeah, but I always thought, like, well, they play it because it's in the spirit. But actually, the fact that they're saying, well, you probably already have happy memories associated with these songs.
Exactly.
Is going to make you even more apt to feel good in the store and want to buy something.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that is interesting. Do you think that's any tie to our episode?
I can understand where it comes in, but it's not easy for people to guess based on that story. So see if you can do it with mine. So... my story comes from what is starting to be one of my most trusted resources.
Oh, God, my ghost stories.
YourGhostStories.com.
I always do it backwards.
This story comes from Thailand in 2008. The writer says, "This true encounter happened to me while I was living in Bangkok, Thailand. I had a sleepover with two of my friends, Mary and Tasha. Now, mind you, I was always into hearing ghost stories and whatnot, but I never did those Ouija board or seances or anything like that. Now, my friend Mary was heavy into the paranormal. Her house is haunted. And being that strange things always happen in her household, this was normal to her. Now, Tasha was one of my other friends, and as we are reestablished.
So who are her friends?
Tasha was one of my other friends and was the total opposite of Mary. She just likes staying up talking about school and didn't like the talk of the paranormal. So, it was around 2 a.m. when we all became bored, and Mary suggested we play a game. So, here we are, all three of us sitting on my bed looking at each other. I told them I didn't really want to take part in it, but just wanted to watch. So, Tasha said she would be the one that was to be put to sleep while Mary was was the coach. Tasha lay straight on my bed while Mary sat cross-legged with Tasha's head lying on her lap with a pillow underneath it. Mary takes her fingers and places them on Tasha's temples and starts telling her she is getting sleepy. At first, Tasha busted out laughing, and so did I, because Mary was getting serious and we just weren't buying it. After 20 minutes of sudden outbursts of laughter, Tasha started feeling pretty sleepy. Mary started counting from 50, and by the time she got to zero, Tasha was pretty sleepy. As we already established.
She went from sleepy to pretty sleepy.
But we were talking to her as she was sleeping. We asked her what she saw. She said she saw green grass, extremely tall, like she was on a farm. Then she said, oh no, a storm is coming. Now, mind you, Tasha's eyes are closed, of course, but they are moving as if she is either dreaming or really there. When then asked what was wrong, because we could see her eyes moving rapidly, she said dark clouds were coming like it was going to storm. Then she started shaking. Mary said, what's wrong? What do you see? Tasha said, someone is chasing me, and every time I turn back, it gets closer. So I'm like dead silent and just looking at Mary, and Mary tells her not to look back and to run to a church. There should be a church nearby and a priest waiting for you. Tasha said she saw the church and she is running as fast as she can. By the time she said she got in the church, she said the priest closed the doors.
What? Rude.
Right? By this time, she started crying and kept saying, oh my God. Mary and...
Well, oh my God.
Mary and I are looking at each other and we both said, what's wrong? What do you see? Tasha then said the priest's eyes were turning red and blood was coming out of his eyes.
Oh, shit.
I didn't like how this was turning because I knew for a fact Tasha was not faking the whole thing because I started tickling her feet because she was extremely ticklish so I could see if she's bullshitting us.
Oh, that's actually a good idea.
Right? I thought so too. But no reaction. So she was still trembling and crying. That's when I couldn't take it anymore. So I shook her and told her, it's a dream. Get out of it. Everything was extremely still for like 3 minutes. Tasha was lying, was still laying there with her eyes closed, but this time she was just silent, eyes closed with no movement. Mary, at this time, was still in a cross-legged position with Tasha's head on her lap. She was calling her name, Tasha? Tasha? Tasha, is everything okay? Tasha said, who is Tasha? This isn't Tasha.
Oh!
She said in a low, monotone voice.
What?
Mary and I looked at each other, and I started shaking my head to stop, but Mary said, who are you? Tasha, or whoever was in Tasha, said, who do you want me to be?
Ooh.
I am what you cannot see unless you want to see me.
Oh, shit. This took a turn. Yep. What?
But then I couldn't take it anymore. I slapped Tasha in her face to wake her up. She shot straight up, started screaming at the top of her lungs, ran out of my room, down the stairs, and out of my apartment door. We had to run after her because by then it was a little after 2:30 a.m. and my parents were asleep and so was the whole building. She didn't want to go back into my house, but after we calmed her down, she came back in. The apartment with us. I kept on asking her what happened. Why did she run out like that? She said she felt as if something had put a hand over her mouth, so she couldn't say anything, but she could feel her mouth moving, but she wasn't the one who was speaking.
Wow, damn.
After all this, I was like, okay, well, let's all go to sleep because I've had enough.
I'm sure Tasha was like, maybe not.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, let's go to sleep. Again. Oh, my God.
A week went by, and I went up to Tasha to ask if she was fine, and she said, yes, wouldn't she be? So when I asked her if she remembered what happened that night, she gave me a little look and said she doesn't remember anything. Tasha never spent the night at my house ever again. I'm still friends with Tasha and Mary to this day, but Mary and I still talk about the encounter that happened, but Tasha, on the other hand, doesn't recall anything. Back then, by me being so young, I felt it was harmless. That was the last time I ever participated in any type of thing that did or could deal with spirits.
Wow. Oh my God, that took like three different turns?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because at first I was just like, well, I mean, it's just that I know people who talk in their sleep, and whenever they're in that period between awake and sleeping, they'll start talking, and you can actually kind of interact with them a little bit.
Oh,
and
they
might say some, and that's why I was like, well, that's just what's happening. But then, wait, what the hell? Oh my God.
Possession.
At first, whenever you said that the priest's eyes turned red,
yeah,
I was like, oh, is it the Lil Nas video?
Oh, I've not seen it.
Oh, you haven't? Oh God, it's glorious.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It really is. You'd like it. Wow. So, Lord, okay.
It's going to be very difficult.
It's going to be really hard. There are a couple of very obvious.
Yeah.
I think there's one thing in your story that's very obvious. And then if you can connect it to basically what my whole story is about, you can do it.
Yeah.
But guess.
And congratulations to both Learn and I believe there's one other, and I believe Sarah, that both of the them guess the topic correctly.
Oh, yeah, the last one. Yeah, yeah, good job. Wow, we really should maybe have little... But we'll just give shout-outs. I think that's a really nice thing.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I've been sitting this whole time thinking about the learn, and I was like, why does it rhyme or sound like something I know? And I finally put it together that it's Slurm, the drink from Futurama.
Oh.
And I finally, I don't know, just... It kind of reminded me of something that's so unrelated.
Yes.
Okay, y'all. All right, we're done. Tune in next week. See if you got it right. Hear the full topic. Y'all, it's going to be great.
It's yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Yep. So, all right.
And with that.
With that. Bye. Bye.